God's word is truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will never pass away. God's word prophesies that he was wounded. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment of our peace was upon him. He took our place. And by his stripes, he was beaten. We are healed. God's word tells me, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. God is our great healer. Thank you, Father, and we praise you. Tonight we'll take up the evening offering. Praise the Lord. The Word of God once again says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And the Word tells me that if we give unto the Lord, He's going to give back to us. Praise God, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing shall men give into our bosoms. Amen. We thank God for the Word of God. We thank God that He has spoken to us, and He has said, behold the heaven, the atmosphere around this planet Earth. Behold the heaven, and the heaven of the heavens, our sun, our planets, our solar system, our Milky Way galaxy, all the galaxies and stars in the universe, they are the Lord's our God.
Amen.
This earth also, and all that therein is, God has everything. And these words that He commands us this day shall be in our heart. Amen. Amen. God is never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to fail us. Tonight I want to minister to you a sermon that I titled A Love Story. Really the greatest love story of all time. God's love to His creation, man. Saints, I speak to you tonight. Do not commit spiritual adultery against our God. We commit spiritual adultery against our God by worshiping the things of this world, by putting this world before our God, by putting things of idols before our God. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, tonight I'm going to take you on a journey in the Old Testament first, and I'm going to tell you a love story about our Lord God, Jehovah, and His children, Israel. The word of the Lord came again unto Ezekiel, and to him saying, verse 2, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem. This is God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. Amen. Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water or subtle in thee. Thou wast not swaddled at all, nor swaddled at all. You may be seated. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into an open field to the loving of thy person, in the day that thou was born. God is speaking through Ezekiel saying, Here, Jerusalem, in the time that you was born, your mother and your father wanted nothing to do with you. You was not taken care of when you was born. Even the cord was not cut at birth. You was not washed. You was not subtle. You was not swaddled. Nobody pitied you. But instead, they cast you out into an open field. They cast you out there that you might die. And the Lord said, And when I passed by thee, and I saw thee in thy own blood, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I say unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. The Lord God looked upon Jerusalem, looked upon Israel, Judah, and He had mercy and He had compassion. And when no one else wanted them, when there was nothing of the least, the Lord said, Live. And I caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. And thou increased and thou waxed great. And thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thy hair has grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee and said, the Lord God, thou becamest mine. When Israel come to adulthood, when God looks upon Israel as a woman, amen, he looked upon her and he said, now is a time of love. Now is the time, amen, that you've come into adulthood. Your hair has grown. Praise God. You're no longer naked. Amen. And the Lord said, I entered into a covenant with you. This is a marriage covenant, folks. This is the Lord looking upon Israel. He entered into a covenant and said, you have become mine. Verse 9. Then wash thy thee with water, yea, thoroughly wash away thy blood from thee and anoint thee with oil. This, amen, corresponds to being born again. We've been washed by the water, by the word. Amen. The Lord spoke to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he can't enter into heaven. Here the Lord tells Israel, I have washed thee. I have washed away thy blood. I have washed away thy sin. And I have anointed thee with oil, the oil of gladness, the oil of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I clothe thee also with bordered work, and I shod thee with badger skins, and I girded thee with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. God has decked out Israel. I have decked thee also with ornaments, and I have put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I have put jewels in thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Look what God has done for Israel. Made her beautiful. Thou wast decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and bordered work. Thou did eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. He took her from nothing in a wilderness, in the fields, and he brought her to adulthood, and he entered into a marriage contract with her. He made her beautiful. And he gave her of the all that the Lord had to give to, in beautification. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. Everyone began to hear of the beauty of Israel, for it was perfect through my comeliness. It was because of the Lord's Spirit being upon Israel, it was because of God's own comeliness that Israel was beautiful, which I have put upon thee, saith the Lord God. God took his own comeliness and he placed it upon Israel. But thou didst trust in thy own beauty. Now listen, folks, we're talking tonight of a great love story of the Lord God Almighty. And we're talking tonight that we as the saints of God are not to commit adultery against our God. Spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery meaning worship of idols and putting other things, possessions and things before God. And thy renown went forth among the heathen. But thou didst trust in thy own beauty, and thou played the harlot because of thy renown, and poured out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. And of thy garments didst thou take, and deckest the high places with divers collars, and played the harlot thereon. The like of such things shall not come, neither shall it so be. Listen, folks. What was Satan's sin? Satan's sin was that he found pride. Satan was, amen, was created perfect. And he was created beautiful. And here it says that Israel, because of its own renown, because of its own beauty, it got puffed up, it got conceited, it got vain, and it played the harlot. Now, we know a harlot is one, amen, that commits adultery, that commits whoredoms. And here it says that Israel played this part. In verse 17, thou, Israel, hast also taken the fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I give thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them. They took the very gold and the very silver that God gave them, and they formed it into an image of an idol, in the image of a man, a statue, bowed down and worshiped that statue, prayed to that statue, made sacrifice to that statue, and that is spiritual adultery against God. And thou tookest thy bordered garments and coveredest them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. He took the very things that God gave Israel to beautify her, God's very own oil, God's very own incense, and offered it unto idols, offered it unto devils. My meat, my food also, that I give thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, and saith the Lord God. Amen. They took the very things to worship God with, the oil, amen, the incense, offering up sweet savor unto the Lord, and they offered it up unto the devil. Moreover, listen, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me. That means these sons and daughters were the children of God Almighty. And thou hast sacrificed them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter? Thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the far for them. And in all thy abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the day of thy youth when thou wast naked and bare and polluted in thy own blood. They took the very children, God's offspring, and they sacrificed them on the altars of the devils and killed their own children. And it come to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an intimate place, and have made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built the high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to everyone that passed by, and have multiplied thy whoredoms. They went and began to build little temples all through the city to idols. They put it on every street corner. They put it on every hilltop. And there they would go and bow down to an idol. See, to us an idol means nothing. To us we have an understanding of the one true God. But these people, they were not a spiritual people. They became a carnal people. And they could not understand the worship of God that they could not see. And therefore they made themselves false gods. And they bowed down to them. And it was called adultery. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors. Great affliction have increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Here in the natural, they went to the Egyptians. They intermarried with the Egyptians. They committed incest with the Egyptians. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee. Listen, there is a pronouncement of judgment. I have diminished thy ordinary food and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd ways. Even the heathen were ashamed of the way Israel behaved herself. And God gave them over to be corrected and punished by the Philistines. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians. We know the Assyrians is modern day Iran and Iraq and those countries. Because thou wast insatiable, she couldn't be satisfied. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan and in Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied therewith. They went a-whoring after every nation around about them. They were told not to intermarry. They were told not to partake of the others. They were told not to worship those gods, false gods, these other people. And yet, how weak is thy heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine inland place in the head of every way, and makest thy high places in every street, and listen to this, folks, and hast not been as an harlot, in that thou scornest hire. Harlots charge for their services. You pay the harlot for her services. But here the Lord says that you aren't even as other harlots. You scorn her. But as a wife that commits adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, he is saying to Israel, you're not even like other whores, but you're as a wife that committed adultery against her husband. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and thou harrest them. that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms, and in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee. Therefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. This, folks, is what's taken place in the Old Testament under the law when Israel and Judah was the Lord's wife. Thus saith the Lord God, because of thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children which thou didst give unto them, behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers, with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved, with all them that thou hast hated, and I will even gather them round about against thee, and I will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness, and I will judge thee as a woman that break wedlock, breaking her wedding vows, and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood in fury and in jealousy. Our God is a jealous God. And I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw thee down thy eminent places. They shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and they shall take thy fair jewels and leave thee naked and bare. They started out with nothing. God prospered. God gave them everything. And now because of their sin, everything's been taken away. And they shall burn thy houses with fire and execute judgment upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. And thou shalt also no more give hire anymore. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, God's anger. And my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and I will be angry no more. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all things. Fretted. They have caused God worry. They have troubled the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will also recompense thy way upon thy head, saith the Lord God, and I shall not commit. And thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thy abominations. Jehovah God, in the Old Testament, made Jerusalem, Israel and Judah, his spiritual wife. In the natural, in the flesh, Israel, the nation, are both men and women, male and female. But in the spirit, both became God's spiritual wife. Jerusalem committed spiritual adultery against God. She, Jerusalem, worshipped idols, the work of the hands of their own hands, made of statues of silver and gold, wood and stubble. Many people I've ministered to, and they said, we have never heard such a thing, that God was married to Israel, that God considered Israel his wife. But yet in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 32, Ezekiel says, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. For more proof, Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel have done? She has gone up unto every high mountain and under every green tree, and have played the harlot. And I said after that she had done these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. Even after she committed sin against God, God said to Israel, repent, turn back to me, and I'll forgive you. He said, turn thou unto me, but she would not. And not only that, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, the Lord says, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. God gave Israel and Judah a bill of divorce and divorced himself from them. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but she went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredoms that she defiled the land and committed adultery. What with, folks? She committed adultery with stones and with stocks. She made idols. God put Israel away and gave her a bill of divorce. Judah committed adultery with stones and stocks. Spiritual adultery with idols, false gods of stone and wood. In Jeremiah 3:14-5, the Lord speaks again and says, "Turn, O backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." Now that is as plain as it gets.
Amen.
Anybody that says that God was not married to Israel and Judah in the Old Testament doesn't know the Old Testament. Because if you will read it, God expounds over and over that He considered Israel His wife. "And I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." The Lord is saying, "Israel, turn back unto me. And for I am married to you." And listen in verse 15. "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." The Lord says, "I'll even set up ministers. I'll set up pastors to oversee you and to lead you and to guide you and to teach you." Now, folks, this is what took place in the Old Testament. And we would say, well, we of the New Testament, we that know Jesus Christ, we that are born again, we are filled with the Spirit, would never do such a thing to our God. We would never be unfaithful like Judah. In the New Testament, we the saints of God, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, we are the Lord's bride. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Apostle Paul said, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you unto one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Paul is saying to the church, "I have espoused you. I have arranged an engagement between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are a virgin unto the Lord. You are the Lord's bride." In Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8, the Word says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come." John said this in Revelation. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Jesus, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." All through the book of Revelations, every time anyone comes before the Lord and saved, He gives them a white robe.
Amen.
And here it says, amen, that there's going to be a marriage of the Lamb, and the Lamb is going to marry the church. Hallelujah. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, 22-32, I want to give you an example of how the Lord feels about the church. It says here, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Even as you would submit yourself unto the Lord God Almighty, submit yourself to your husband. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and Jesus is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." I've heard too much of this stuff. Well, I don't have to listen to my husband because my husband's not a Christian. The Word of God says that a woman submit herself unto her husband. It didn't say he had to be a saved man for her to show respect and honor under him. I've said it before and I've preached it before. As long as that man is not demanding of you to sin against God, you're to be unto obedience to your husband. If that man would have you to sin against God, I feel you have a right as a woman to say no. Husbands, listen to this. Love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. A man's supposed to love his wife even unto the death. A man should be willing to die for his wife. Jesus Christ was willing and did die for His church. And so the Bible says we're supposed to love our wives even as Jesus loves the church. That Jesus might sanctify the church and cleanse it. How? With the washing of water by the Word. That Jesus might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy without blemish. This is what God wants of us, the church.
Amen.
"So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. A man should put his wife before himself.
Amen.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord the church." A man takes care of his personal body, even as Jesus takes care of his church, and a man should take care of his wife, just as Jesus took care of the church. "For we are members of his body. We are the members of the body of Jesus. We are members of His flesh and of His bone. Hear this. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Another place in the Word of God it says, when a person is joined with Jesus Christ, they become one spirit. Is a husband and wife become one flesh? Jesus and the person becomes one spirit. And the Bible in verse 32 says, this is a great mystery, a great hidden truth. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Jesus and the church, the saints of God, neither male nor female in the spirit. Jesus and the church are husband and wife. Just as Jehovah God in the Old Testament was married to Israel, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is going to be married to the church.
Amen.
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 Church, do not commit spiritual adultery against Jesus with the world. Do not take the world as your lover. You may say, well, I will never worship idols. I will never place anything, any graven image before me. I know the true God. I'm not guilty of spiritual adultery. Jesus said, you are in the world, but not of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. He that loves the world hates God. Do you hear that? We do not want Jesus to write us a bill of divorcement. Hear me. In the book of James, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, James, the servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, James warns us against adultery against God. You cannot drink of the Lord's cup and the cup of devils. Fresh water and salt water do not come out of the same well. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. James chapter 4, verse 4 says, you adulterers and adulteresses, men and women, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of God, or whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, is the enemy of God. See, there's where the problem comes in. People says they won't commit adultery against God, but they haven't given up the world.
Amen.
They haven't given up the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the love of the pleasures. They love the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world's going to pass away. The lust is going to pass away. But if we will do the will of God, we're going to abide forever.
Praise God.
We say we would never commit spiritual adultery against Jesus. Then I will give you a warning. I want to give you an example of a way that our churches are guilty of committing adultery against God. Do not celebrate the pagan heathen celebration of Halloween. This is the month of October. It's going to come up to that time that they're going to be celebrating Halloween. The Halloween was started out, it was the harvest time. It was the time that they gathered in the crops at the end of the summer. And the people turned it into a pagan worship. They turned it into a night that the dead would walk the earth. And it says, I say, do not celebrate the pagan heathen celebration of Halloween. It is spiritual adultery against God.
Amen.
Halloween is a celebration to Satan, to the devil, to death. Do not visit these so-called haunted houses. Do not take your children. Do not expose your children to the work of darkness. You say you would never offer your children to sacrifice, like the Jews offered their children to sacrifice back in the Old Testament and burnt their children on the altar before devils. You say you wouldn't do that to your children. But will you take them to a place of ungodliness? Do not take your children. Do not expose your children to the works of darkness. They give glory to murder, to torture, and to death. They celebrate demons, ghosts, ghouls, vampires, the undead. Christ gives us, the church, eternal life. Listen. We are the children of light, not the children of darkness. We are the children of the day, not the children of the night. We are the children of God, not the children of the devil.
Amen.
Yes, we love our children, and we want to do good to them. We want to give our children parties, give them candy and prizes, but do it as unto God's celebration of thanksgiving for our children.
Amen.
But do not dress our little ones up as devils, as witches, as ghosts, as monsters, and scare them with evil.
Amen.
Do not teach them to fear Satan and his evil works, but rather teach them to fear God Almighty and to resist the devil, and Satan will flee from them.
Mm-hmm.
Be not deceived. Halloween is the celebration of death, hell, and the grave, and it is spiritual adultery against God. Let's stand. Amen. In times past, God winked at ignorance, but now light has come into the world. We are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. What appears to be innocent and fun and a game is not. It is dabbling in the occult. It is dabbling with evil. It is dabbling with the spiritual wickedness in high places. We should not expose ourselves to that, nor allow our children to be exposed to that. And that is just one of the ways that we in this day and time could commit adultery against the Lord. So let us not be guilty as Israel was guilty, but let us be faithful. Let us be a faithful bride. Let us be a faithful wife. Let us be a faithful church. Let us not, amen, turn to the world, but let us keep our minds and eyes on God. Heavenly Father, tonight we thank You, Lord, for Thy Word. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to minister Your Word. We thank You, God, for truth. We pray, Lord, tonight that we'll put this truth down in our hearts and we'll keep it there, Lord, to the day of Thy coming. We ask tonight, Lord, that You bless us as we go on our way home tonight. God, be with us and keep us safe until we meet again together in this place. Let the church say amen.
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 Amen. Shake hands and be friendly.